Israel that are appropriate and relevant even today. And as we speak, what's going on in the world today is in fact a result of promises made to a man 2,100 years ago. Or no, 4,100 years ago. I'm sorry, 2,100 B.C. And I'll just review with you quickly. What we studied last week were the four irrevocable covenants. The word irrevocable means that they cannot be broken, that if they are based on God and not on man. And there are four irrevocable covenants that were made by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those four covenants were made between the time period of 2100 B.C. and 600 B.C. The first one was made to Abraham, and through Abraham all the nations would be blessed in Jesus Christ and through the nation of Israel. Secondly, we studied that there is the Palestinian covenant that says that Abraham and his descendants would have title to the land of Palestine forever. Forever. Does that mean that now the Arabs get it? Or the Palestinians get it? No. We talked about that and how that is such a ruse. But Israel is the permanent possessor of that property. Then third, that the throne of God over the nation of Israel would be vested in the house of David through Jesus Christ, who was a lineal descendant on both sides, Mary and Joseph, of David himself. And so he has the royal right to the throne and the legal right to the throne. And Joseph adopted Jesus after he was born and gave him that right. So, and then finally, that Israel would come to know God and his ways intimately, and that has not happened. That is a future prophecy. It has happened in part in a small way because all the first century Christians, up until a point where Peter went to Cornelius, were in fact Jewish. And so there was a remnant who were saved. Now, we stopped here last week when I said, wait a minute. God promised that the world would be blessed through Jesus Christ, that they would have the land, that David would rule on his throne forever through Jesus, and that they would come to Christ at some point. And the reality is, that has not happened. So it's a reasonable question, is it not? Why? And I'm going to give you the answer. There are reasons that Israel will be out of the land, will not be blessed, and not have a king ruling from the throne of David. God promised it. In fact, it is called the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant, which defined God's terms for Israel, for the blessing and cursing of Israel. Now, the Mosaic Covenant is one that was given to Moses on the Mount Sinai and is represented by the 614 laws that they have under Judaism, and primarily the Ten Commandments and so forth. Those were done, and I don't want to mess you up, but those were given to Israel. They're great principles for us to live on, but they weren't given to Gentiles. They were given specifically to the nation of Israel as part of their covenant. All right? So, there's a great analogy in what we're studying, and here's what it is. When you come to Jesus and are saved, there are conditions in this life for enjoying God's blessing. Israel is a great example of a believer or a type of believer in the Old Testament that we can look toward. And the reality is that God says that even though he has saved us, it's more than just that for us to have blessings and to enjoy this life. Did you know that? What is it? It's called obedience. All right? Now, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he said, I died for your sins. If you'll trust me, I'll give you eternal life. At that moment in time, at that time, you have eternal life. Forever. That's good, Anthony. Yes. That's redundant, but forever. Eternal life forever. And that means what? Can't be taken away. You can't lose it. It's permanent. It is a promise. It is a covenant. It is an irrevocable covenant given to you by Jesus Christ that if you put your faith in him, you're done for eternal life. You have it. Not only have it, will have it, you have it. Now the question becomes, if you do that and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, does it matter how you live after that point in time? And what does it matter? Rewards. Richard says it means rewards. We're talking about eternal rewards, right? Your obedience and faith in Jesus Christ through your rest of your life will be conditional on how you are rewarded when you get to heaven. That would be important, wouldn't it? What else? Do what? Earthly blessings, all right? In fact, if you want the best opportunity for earthly blessings, then you should be obedient to God, because in that way, He has the ability to bless you. Yes, Randy?
I'd say that the best earthly blessing is to have peace in the midst.
Peace in the midst of storm. Yeah, right. Now, let me give you an example. Real life. I'm a CPA. Most of you know this. And a certified fraud examiner. Why do y'all laugh at me when I say that? That's. I love fraud. Yeah, Randy's a CPA too, but he's not much of one anymore. But no, he gave it up. Yeah.
I am a certified fraud examiner.
Oh yeah, he's a certified fraud examiner too. And the Randy's a school teacher now. He didn't particularly care for what I do. But anyway, I have clients say to me, "Why am I having so many financial problems in my life?" And I ask them a few questions. Do you have so much debt you cannot repay it? Have you guaranteed somebody else's debt like a moron? You know the scripture says, do not be surety for anybody, even your kids. Anyway, you don't give anything to the Lord. You don't do any planning with your money. You don't count the cost. And they say to me, well, what difference does that make? Now, I'm trying to make this kind of obvious. What's obvious? Their financial problems are what? The results of their stupidity. So if you're stupid, just listen closely. The reason I pick money is because it affects more people than any other aspect of obedience to God on this planet. People do not understand me when I say, if you want to get rid of your covetousness and your jealousy over people's possessions and your lust for things, you need to learn to give abundantly to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And people don't understand that. But here's the point. Obedience to God's principles puts you into at least a position. Because I'm not going to tell you, like some of these people on TV, that if you do this, you're going to have everything and be rich and all that. I'm just telling you, you're put into the position of having God's blessings. For example, do you believe that God can control whether or not your appliances break down? When Israel was in the wilderness, what were the two things that God did for them that you can remember that helped them out to get through 40 years in the wilderness? Doug? Huh? He fed them. All right, he fed them. Huh? Their shoes did not wear out. And he gave them water and food. In other words, he met their needs. And think about it. He met their needs in spite of their sin and their grumbling. You remember? He dropped all those quail right out of heaven on them. You know, I love that story. Anyway. Now, the Mosaic Covenant is a covenant that God entered into Israel. And it basically says this, in summary. If you obey me and do what I've asked you to do, you're going to be incredibly blessed. But if you don't, you're going to be incredibly cursed. Now, this is what we call a revocable or a revocable covenant, which is the reason why Israel is not in the land, or was not in the land. They're back there today. And that is because what? They did not obey the covenant. So, I want to take you through that and show you the difference and see what you would decide had you been in the wilderness. The good is in Deuteronomy 28. Yes, Jimmy. All right. Oh, well, yeah. Is it in the Quran? Is there? I don't remember. They just believe they're going to conquer the world, period. Huh? I think it is. I think it is. Yeah. Yes, Tracy. Our authority sits right here. Yes, Tracy. Right. Great point. Yeah, the Islam believes that Ishmael was the promised child, and that as a result of that, he inherits the land. Yes, Brolin. Who? It would be Ishmael and Esau. All right. Now, you get a little confused here because in the world today, you have Arabs who are primarily from Ishmael. You have, and also some of them come from Esau, which was Jacob's brother, who became Israel, by the way. So you have Esau and some of his descendants. But you also have descendants of Greeks through Syria. You have Persians through Iran. You have Babylonians through Iraq. So it gets all kind of confused. But the Arabs primarily were from Ishmael and Esau. And they had a specific prophecy when Ishmael was basically set aside for Isaac. He is the son of the law, or son of the flesh, whereas Isaac is the son of the promise. When Ishmael was in fact set aside and his mother, Hagar, was so upset about him, God made a promise to her that he would be blessed and would be become 12 kings or 12 princesses. Yes, Sandy. Yeah, Keturah, yeah. They became Arabs, I guess. I'm not sure. I don't know what happened to those kids. Yeah. I really don't. I don't know. I know he had lots of children. But he only had one through Sarah. I'm sure if you're 90, one's enough. I know if I'm 100, one's enough. Anyway, now I want to show you the good. Now it shall come about, shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Now, I want you to remember when Israel was in the wilderness and they were presented with the laws, they said what? All that you have said, we will do. Dumb statement. Anyway, now, in Deuteronomy 28:3, it says this, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. So where else is there? On the lake, I guess, Jim, huh? Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast. So it'd be what? All of your descendants and your animals. The increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. You have lots of food. It's an agricultural society. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Let me just read to you. If you have a Bible, I am in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7. I want to just read to you and let you hear, according to God's word to Moses, what he said about their blessing. Now listen closely. The blessings are a lot shorter than the curses. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and all you put your hand to. I'm sorry, I started in the wrong place. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. What would that mean? Absolute protection. Absolute protection from your enemies. And that would be important back in that time, by the way. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of your Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. You want a prosperity gospel? Here it is. In the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land which the Lord swore your fathers to give you, the Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And yes, God is in control of when it rains. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Why? You'll have so much money you don't need to borrow. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, and you will only be above, and you will not be underneath. You will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So pretty simple, right? All you got to do is what? Obey God's laws. All right? Trust Him and obey Him. That's all there is to it. And do not be an idolater. The blessings will defeat your enemies, bless them in their barns and all they do, make them holy, will be a witness to all the nations, abound in prosperity and children, animals, and land, and produce of the ground. By the way, lots of children were important back then. They were a blessing. And it will rain at the proper time. It will bless all their work. How would you like that? I'm struggling. I asked you to pray for my work last week, and why do I need your help? It will be a lender to the nations and not borrow. We'll be leaders and not the tail of peoples, and so forth. So, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's the good side. They have committed to do this. So God also gives them a warning. He says in Deuteronomy 28:15, but if you shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments and His statutes which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. So what does that sound like? Took it all back. That's a good thing. Took it all back. It's exactly the opposite, right, of the good. So you don't have an in-between thing. Yes, Jim. How do you distinguish between the national promises to Israel and the promises to individual Israelites? With great difficulty. Now, I don't know the answer to that. These promises were made to the nation, as I understand it. And unfortunately, many times your people are impacted by what the leaders do. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? It was the leaders who were evil. Now, I think sometimes the leaders that God gives us are just like the people they lead. Yes, Richard? Yeah, the number who did evil are a lot more than the ones that did good. You must have been in the Old Testament, in the Kings. Yeah. I don't know, Jim, how to specifically answer your question. Personal salvation always came by faith. And obedience to them was important. And I don't know, and it's a good question, because is there a middle ground? Or did God want absolute obedience for everyone who is in Israel? Now, I can tell you this. I was reading this week in Joshua, and he defeated some kings, some Canaanite kings. And there was a fellow named Achan, one guy in the nation. And that one guy decided he was going to go against what God had commanded. God had said, when you go into the city, you kill everybody, and you take and you bring all the good, the wealth, and you give it to the God in for his treasury. And you put it into the hands of the Levites. And there was a fellow named Achan who decided to hold back and keep some gold and some silver. Do you remember this story? Because this, I think, is relevant to Jim's question. Does anybody remember what happened to the nation of Israel? They lost the next battle. And why did they lose the next battle as a nation? Because they had one man who disobeyed. And what did they do to the one man who disobeyed? They took him and his family and his children and his goods, and they took them to a valley, and they stoned them. Because one man had caused the death of several Israelites. I think it was 36 Israelites. I can't remember the number. But Jim, I don't know. That's, you know, one man disobeying God brought upon a problem for the whole nation. Now, in looking back, if we were to say to Israel, what do you do? Do you accept this covenant? Do you agree to keep these laws of God? What would have been our best response? Yeah? Well, let's go back on Jim's question. Is it possible for everyone in Israel, everyone in America, to keep God's laws at every point? No. So what do we need? We want grace. We want hesed. We want loving kindness. We're sinners. Now, I don't know what would have happened, because all I know is this, prophetically, God gave them a choice, didn't he? If you do what's right, you will what? Be incredibly blessed. If you do what's wrong, what? Cursed. What does it mean by cursed? Well, this one's going to take a little bit longer, but I want to read it to you if you're in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. It shall come about if you do not obey the Lord God to observe to do all his commandments. Let me skip down a ways here. Skip that. I read that. The Lord will send you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on the account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. And dust from heaven, it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You'll go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, mental illness, and with blindness, and with bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you'll not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you'll not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you, and you will not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually. But there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and the legs with sores and boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. That's the Assyrians, the Babylonians. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all of your trees and produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you'll go down lower and lower. You shall lend to, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you, pursue you, and overtake you until you're destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded. Wow. Okay, what choice do we make? Good or bad? Huh? Is this an easy question? Did you hear those words? Door number one, right. Details. I can't even give you all the details. There's so many, but I'll give you a few. Confusion, rebuke, pestilence, consumption, and fever. Rain will be powder and dust. By the way, which one did they choose? It's the good, bad, and the ugly, right? They chose the bad and the ugly. Did any of this come true? Yeah, it did. Defeated by their enemies. Smite them with boils of Egypt and tumors. Mental illness, blindness, and bewilderment of heart. Oppressed and not prosperous. Marry another will violate their wives. Build a house and another will live in it. Plant a vineyard and not use the fruit. Livestock will be taken by others. Sons and daughters will be given to another people. Bring them to a nation they don't know and they will serve other gods. Be a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives them. Locusts and worms will devour their crops. Will serve their enemies, will hunger, thirst, and be naked and lack all things. A nation of fierce countenance will swoop down on them and besiege them, will eat their offspring, will be hospitable to their own family, will scatter them all over the earth, will find no rest day or night. Yeah, well, it does. It show you that there is some, you ought to have some concern about what God says you ought to do. Now, we don't believe that you are saved by anything you do. You are only saved and given eternal life by who you put your faith in, that trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. But here's the message. I want you to know as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are one, it does make a difference how you live after that point. If you choose to disobey God's principles, you can have not only the loss of reward in eternity, but you can suffer the consequences in this life. And that is a crucial message, because I'm not sure that we in Christianity often separate the salvation experience that comes at a point in time and the living as a Christian the rest of the time. It is important to, one, understand what the Word of God says, and number two, to trust Him and obey it. You remember I've told you that faith is three aspects. Who remembers them? What's number one? Knowledge, mental assent, trust. All right, so if you look at salvation, you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? That He died for your sins and He promised if you trust Him, He'd give you eternal life. That's knowledge. Mental assent says, I know that's true, but that's not salvation. Now, salvation is what? Putting your trust in that finished work in Him, so forth. Well, it's the same way in the rest of the Scripture. When you read what God says, you understand, one, what He says, and you can believe it to be true or not, right? And you can trust it. Now, let me give you a really controversial issue. The Word of God says that if you want your children to be godly young people and adults, when they disobey, you are to what? Put them in time out. No. It says spank them. It not only does it say spank them, spoil the rod, or spare the rod, spoil the child, it also says that they're built for it. You ain't going to hurt them if you apply it to the lower unit. All right? Right? Now, in today's society, is that a popular concept? No. In fact, if you were caught doing that in the supermarket, you might have the social services show up at your door. Yes, Doug. Oh, the current Pope believes in spanking, but he's liberal. But the council, that what happened to his infallibility or whatever it is, his inerrancy or his whatever. Okay. So here you are. You've got a dilemma. Right? You got a child that's misbehaving, and you know that society says it's wrong for you to spank, but the Word of God says what? Bust them. Right? So, what would faith in God's Word tell you to do? Bust them. You see, it's that simple. It's that simple. And if you take most of the admonitions to believers in the Bible, usually that's simple. For example, in the area of giving, does it tell you in the Bible to give to God or not? All right, so you hear that, you know that that's said. Do you believe that that is true, that if you give, God will bless you? So what do? You write a check. I used to be in elder meetings at another church, and we'd be struggling over things, and what do we do here? What do we do? We'll pray about it. And, the answer is we need to help somebody out or do something for money, and the normal answer is let us pray about it. And what that translates into is let's get out of here so they can't force us to write a check. And my response is we don't need to pray about it. If it's the right thing to do, we do what? Write a check. So I was known for writing check, or for saying write a check. Doug? Right. Yeah, if you do it right, you're right. We're not calling for child abuse. We're calling for busting them and then loving them. Under control, even though you may be really angry. Biblical chastisement, yeah. Yes. You mean what it said, yeah. He loves a cheerful giver, right. And we've experienced that in this class for various gifts. But I'm just using some real-life examples of what God says to do. And if you're going to live a life of faith, that would make it incumbent on you to know what? What God has said. And then you would do what? And then you will obey it. Yes, Jim. Oh, national versus individual, yeah. Okay. Jim thinks that when Christ came, he brought an individual. Well, let me kind of clear that up if I can. I'm not sure I can, but Israel is... Okay, I'm sorry. Jimmy says that when Christ came, he put it on an individual basis as far as salvation and so forth. And let me kind of blend those two concepts. Israel is a type as a whole. We don't go in and analyze each individual Israelite as to whether or not they're a believer or not. We use the nation as a whole to do that. And salvation has always worked in God's economy based on faith. You go back to Abraham. Abraham's the first one that I think that I can remember. Enoch, it said about Enoch that he walked with God and was not, for God took him. But I believe, if I'm not wrong, maybe you can think, that Abraham was the first guy where God crystallized his concept of salvation. When he said, and it was credited to him, Abraham believed God, exhibited trust in God, and it was credited to him, it was put into his bank account, that he was righteous. Salvation has always been by faith. Even when they're offering sacrifices, even when they're obeying the Mosaic code, law, they are living by faith. In fact, to be obedient requires faith. Because there are so many things in the Word of God that for the natural man who comprehends not the things of God, it's very difficult to understand sometimes when the Bible says that you should do something. Husbands? No, it's not obey. Yeah, Anthony's got it figured out. He's been married 60 years. More than 60 now, 61 or 2, 3, 63 years. Wow. Husbands, obey your wives. Okay. Well, I've told you since Leslie's not here, I learned a long time ago the way to have a great marriage is I don't try to run my life and I don't try to run hers. Gary, I'm sorry. Next day, yeah. Right. Yeah. Good point. Gary said your dad was a prisoner of war in World War II, and that every GI believes that somebody's coming the next day to get them. And if they don't the next day, they do the next day. Well, here's the point, and I've kind of gotten a little bit off track, but that's normal. It is so important for you as a believer in Jesus Christ to know the Word of God and to obey the Word of God. That's your best shot at blessing. You want great joy in this life? You know, one of the great joys in life, I can tell you through personal experience, is to get to the point where there's absolutely nothing you need or want. Because you know God's in control of your finances. Yes, Connie. That sounds dangerous. That would be the first time. Right, they couldn't lead anybody. Right. All right, let me try to straighten out your confusion. The confusion for the tape is that Connie's greatly confused about. That's Connie Bolter, if you. Yeah. Just so everybody knows. And the blessings and the curses that we're studying have absolutely nothing to do with us. They have to do with the nation of Israel because that's who the covenant was with. All right? So, please don't misunderstand me. I am not teaching you that if you don't obey God, you're going to go insane. Some of you are already there, but I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not teaching that a direct correlation between your obedience and Israel's obedience. It was a national obedience that, and we have a completely different relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do have a relationship where, as the old Baptist hymnal says, trust and obey, we are to trust and obey Him. And one of the dangers you can get into, Connie, is when you start trying to extrapolate the Old Testament blessing and curses to the New Testament. It just doesn't work. Does that help? Okay, good. All right. Why'd they have all this problem? What's the reason for all this problem? Because you did not serve the Lord your God. Looks at this with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. In other words, God is blessing them immensely, and they're supposed to be happy. Connie, this is an application, not a New Testament application. How many people today are basically rich in the things of the world and not happy? It's a very common thing in a materialistic society such as ours. They welcomed the blessing and enjoyed them, but they wouldn't honor the God who gave them the blessings. This is by Warren Wiersbe. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Idolatry begins with a proud and selfish heart that loves the gifts more than it loves the giver, and it ends by losing both the giver and the gifts. And here is where I'm going to end today. No, it's not. It's got another one. There's a sobering message for the church today. Connie, this is right on your deal. Like Israel, oh, we are God's chosen people and a holy nation. We are to advertise the virtue of the Lord and declare the good news of the gospel. If we fail to glorify God and obey His word, He will chasten us as He chastened Israel. All right? For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Here's where I will end. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all drank the same, ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, what does that tell you? They all had a common foundation. They were all baptized in the sea. They were all part of this Mosaic code. And then it says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples to us. What happened to them is an example to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, nor let us act immorally. Boy, is that America, that's tough. As some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble. Are you a complainer? Or grumble, as that does not please God, by the way, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. In other words, they died because what? They were complaining about God's gifts to them. Now, these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instructions upon whom the ages have come. There is an application of them to our lives. If you want to be blessed in this life, your best shot is to know what God has said, believe it to be true, and act upon it. See you next week. Thank you.